stay tuned for Bob Benyart Live. But first, hey, this is Bob Benyart. We're live tonight, Monday, October 13th. First, here's our Denver Bible Church update. I'd like to let you know this past Sunday, yesterday, what a good time we had at church. And if you live in the Denver area, you're invited to come on out to Denver Bible Church. If not, if you listen on the web via kgov.com, then, of course, you can check us out on the internet at denverbiblechurch.org. But yesterday, the sermon, we're in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, and we began the first of a two-sermon series on apparent discrepancies in the Bible. What do you do when it looks like there are verses, stories in the Bible that contradict one another or have apparent discrepancies? How do you deal with that? So we'll complete that next Sunday. And then also, that we had a fun Sunday school class. We're in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. And then last night, we began our study in the book of Esther. And it's a fascinating book. In fact, Esther, the story of Esther, kicks off the events that conclude the Old Testament. So if you understand the book of Esther and then the key events that follow, the building of Jerusalem's wall and the rebuilding of the temple, then you understand, for the most part, how the story of the Old Testament concludes. And that leads us into the New Testament a few centuries later, when Herod the Great rebuilt the temple, refurbished it, and Jesus Christ was born. And the climax of the story of the Bible occurred in Christ's life, his death and resurrection. So the book of Esther is really fun, and you could join us. Now, we started Sunday night, last night. But guess what? If you come out next Sunday night, you'll be in on the beginning, in that that's when we get to the first verse of the book. Because we didn't even do the first verse last night. What we did was, well, how do you understand the book of Esther? You could study it verse by verse, try to comprehend each and every line, but how does that book fit into the whole Bible? What's the story of the whole Bible? And what piece does Esther play? And so what we did last night to begin with was a 45-minute overview. We did four overviews to put into context the book of Esther. First, we did an overview of the Bible in four observations, the four main events of the Bible. It was interesting. And then we did the Bible in 33 events. The 33 events. So first was a major overview. Just four observations that give you an overview of the whole story of the Bible. Then we refined that to 33 events, like the creation and the fall, Adam and Eve and Satan rebelled against God, and Noah's flood, so on through Christ's death and resurrection and on to the new heavens and the new earth. So the Bible story in 33 events. Then we did a summary statement for each of the 66 books of the Bible. And that was fun. And then after we did that, in order to get a solid overview of what's going on in the Bible, then we did the book of Esther, the overview of that book, what happens in that book. And so that's the way we approach studying the Bible at Denver Bible Church. We study it so that in the end we'll really know it, that we'll know the Word. And it's a lot of fun. We invite you to come on out with us, Denver Bible Church, 6200 West Hampton, near Hampton and Wadsworth, if you're in Denver, or on the web at denverbiblechurch.org. You can call for directions, 303-463-1707, or check them out at denverbiblechurch.org. Now stay tuned for Bob Benyart Live. greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, America's most popular, self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. In Florida, there is a 24-hour-a-day vigil going on for the life of a woman who is not in a coma, but she has been unable to speak for a decade or so. And her name is Terry Schindler Schiavo, if I'm pronouncing that right. And her husband and legal guardian have given an instruction to the hospice. She's in a hospice right now. They've given them an instruction not to disconnect her from an iron lung or some extraordinary health care. They've given a command to disconnect her from her food and water, to stop feeding her, to starve her to death. And do you understand the difference between allowing a person to die who's dying? If someone is dying of a disease, they're dying. It's okay to die. It is okay. It's not okay to kill someone. If someone is sick, they have a disease, it's not okay to kill them. That's not okay just because they're sick. And if someone needs extraordinary medical care, constant blood transfusions, whatever, extraordinary care, there's no moral obligation to continue that. But if someone only needs food and water, that's it, then you don't starve them to death. That's the line that you draw. In the Bible, God says in the Bible, you see, liberals get everything backwards. In the Bible, God says, if someone will not work, neither shall he eat. It's a command in the New Testament. So what do liberals do? Do people who will not work, they feed them. You got to feed the people who won't work, like the alcoholics, drug addicts, bums. But someone who cannot work, if they cannot work, then we should help them if they can't work, if they're too sick to work, or they're, maybe it's a little baby who can't work. And so we feed those who cannot feed themselves. We don't starve them to death. And Terry Schindler Schiavo's family, her parents, Robert and Mary Schindler of Florida, have not completely given up hope, and they pray that somehow their daughter's life will be spared. So they have asked some Christian leaders to organize a 24-hour vigil. And the founder of Operation Rescue is down there, Randall Terry, as well as the founder of Christian Communication Network, Gary McCullough. And also, now this is taking place outside of a hospice in Pinellas Park, Florida, the Hospice Woodside in Pinellas Park. So in Pinellas Park, we're going to go to the phones. We're going to go to the phones, and in Pinellas Park, Florida, we've got the media coordinator for Colorado Right to Life, Leslie Hanks. Hello, Leslie.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, thank you.
How are you?
Thank you for taking time out down there to join us and fill us in. I'm doing well. Leslie, I don't know if you were able to hear the introduction I gave to this story.
I did, and you got it all just beautifully delineated for the listeners, and boy, I am so honored and thrilled that you're allowing me to be on tonight and let the people in Colorado hear about this poor woman's plight.
Mm.
You know, in Hitler's Germany, Bob, what Terry would have been called?
A useless eater.
A useless eater.
Right.
Isn't that just tragic that mindset is just really creeping back into our society
yeah.
in a frightening way?
Yeah, that's true. And you know, the Nazis, they killed tens of thousands of Germans before they killed any Jews.
That's right.
Before they killed any gypsies, they were killing Germans who didn't have the quality of life sufficient to allow them to live, including one boy. I forget his age. I think he was 7 years old. You needed three doctors' signatures, approval, to terminate the life of a patient. And one boy was – the problem they had with him was that he was a bedwetter, and they used that as their justification, three doctors to gas him, and they killed him.
Well, you know, when you get the extra doctors that corroborate your decision, that makes it all good.
Right, exactly.
That makes it right.
And so, Leslie, you've flown down there from Denver to help this poor woman and her parents. Now, it's Terry Schindler Schiavo.
That's right.
Tell us her story.
Well, Terry, when she was, I think she was 26 years old, had a collapse. And there's a little bit of a disparity about what really precipitated that collapse. Her husband, who has been living with another woman for several years and has a child with that woman.
Now, he wasn't living with another woman at the time, right?
He was not, but he has been for the last probably 5 years.
And when – go ahead.
Very mysterious as to why he is still her legal guardian, since he doesn't really appear to be married to her if he's living with another woman. But that nothing about this case is very logical, that's for sure.
Yeah, and her parents have wanted custody of their daughter since he has moved on to another woman effectively. But her parents, Bob and Mary Schindler, they haven't been able to get custody of Terry.
That's for sure. Mm-hmm. Well, and he's had her in this Woodside Hospice here in Pinellas Park for the last 4 years. And this is just so interesting to see, Bob. Of course, the 24-hour prayer vigil is set up. I've gone back to my car, so I'm not out on the line right now, but it's much like it is at 20th and 9. Well, of course, the facility is a little nicer. It is like a nursing home in its appearance, but there are police cars at each entrance in the front, and I understand there's police cars in the back as well. Because, I mean, one of the things that occurs to everybody is why don't they just get her out of here, you know, get her out of this facility so that they can't start starving her to death on Wednesday. But there's just, you know, police stationed around, and so apparently that's not going to happen.
If the parents wanted to come and take her, the police would, like we in the pro-life movement have seen the police used time and time again, 1,000 times over, to defend those who are killing the innocent and to deter or to thwart those who are trying to save an innocent life. The parents have released this statement. If I could read it from – this is from worldnetdaily.com, WND.com. We love our daughter, Terry, very much, and we want her home. Over the last 13 years, Terry has laughed with us, cried with us, talked with us. I'm going to ask you, Leslie, after this break, if you know more about that, the responses she's had since her injury.
BinYard Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-NYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
Benyard here, live commercial break. Hey, I want to tell you about our monthly Bible study subscription. Now, we're doing the Book of Esther, as you may have heard at the beginning of tonight's program, and we've just begun the Book of Esther. Well, people who sign up for our monthly Bible subscriptions for $34.95 a month, Then once a month, about the middle of the month or so, they get a Bible study album in the mail. And that album, if you just subscribe right now and you start up, well, then what you get, unless you ask for some different Bible study book to begin with, you get an overview of the whole Bible. That's what you get first. And then we go through some topics like predestination and free will. You get that somewhere along the line. But we start to get into the books of the Bible. We go through Genesis and Exodus, books of the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Gospel of John, Romans, which is such an extraordinary book, the book of Revelation. And you don't go in order. It's not all Old Testament, New. It's mixed up. Check it out. We're back. Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-8-N-YURT, 1-800-836-9278. So I wasn't through reading the statement from Terry Schiavo's parents, but that's Bob and Mary Schindler in Florida. Terry, on Wednesday, it's been threatened by her husband, her estranged husband, her former husband. I'm not sure what you would call him. He's been living with another woman for years now. But her parents have wanted to get custody of their daughter. They've been unable to. They love their daughter. And they say that over the last 13 years, Terry has laughed, cried, and even talked and tried to get out of her chair. And the accusations that Terry is in a coma or is in a vegetable state, those accusations are a lie, according to Terry's own parents. We have on the line with us in Florida right now in Pinellas Park, Florida, where Terry is in a hospice center, apparently with police cars around the facility. We have the Colorado Right to Life media coordinator, Leslie Hanks, down there. Leslie, so you may not know more than we've heard from the parents' own statement, but they're saying their daughter is not even in a coma.
Oh, she's not. And I would encourage the listeners to go to the website, terrysfight.org, and they have video clips in there of Terry, you know, being told to follow a balloon around the room with her eyes, which she does. And like they said, you know, she can say yes and no, or at least maybe shakes her head yes and no. I'm not sure if she actually says the word yes, but she is clearly not in a persistent vegetative state, which, you know, people have emerged from that, even if they have been declared that. So, I mean, that's, again, that can be a very subjective thing.
I just went to terrysfight.org, and wow, this is fascinating. I hadn't known about this website. Thank you, Leslie. All right, so her eyes are open,
mm-hmm.
and she's not, you know what, to say that she's not in a coma, actually, that's a bit beside the point, because if you're in a coma, if you're not yet dead, you still don't starve someone to death. You don't.
Well, that's an interesting thing that you said, Bob, because there is a group that is actually trying to defend Terry called Not Dead Yet. I don't know if you've heard of them, but they're disability rights people that are, I think there are going to be quite a few disabled folks out here tomorrow. And as I told you earlier, Randall Terry is going to be on Hannity and Combs tonight, so when the listeners are done listening to your fine show, they might go check that out and actually learn a little bit more about this. And, mm-hmm. of course, our big desire is to just get more and more people outraged about this pro-euthanasia judge that has, you know, refused to take any jurisdiction over the fact that her due process rights are being violated.
In other words, she's a human being, and this man who was her husband, who now is living with another woman, has a child with another woman, he doesn't have the right to say that she can no longer have food and water.
Well, that's right, and he's also had money set aside for her care that he should have been allowing her to have therapy all these years, and he has not allowed her to have any therapy. And the biggest problem, the reason she's on a feeding tube, is because when you maybe had been comatose for a while and you're not utilizing your muscles in your throat to swallow, they become atrophied. And so because they don't want you to choke and get aspirate any food into your lungs, they will sometimes put you on a feeding tube, and she would need occupational therapy in order to get those muscles working again to where she could take food by mouth. So, you know, by the time they take this feeding tube out, it probably will take about 14 days, but she's not going to be able to survive without nutrition and hydration.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, that's not artificially keeping her alive, but that is what the pro-euthanasia folks are trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And here on this website for terrisfight.org, and they have it spelled T-E-R-R-I, Terry, S, no apostrophe in a URL, in a website name, a domain name, T-E-R-R-I-S, Terry's Fight, FIGHT.org. Then they've got video clips and audio clips of her making sounds, speaking. Big Eyes, one video clip is called Big Eyes during an examination. And these are apparently recent clips here. During an examination, the doctor asks Terry to open her eyes wide. She opens her eyes, turns her head, and raises her eyebrows in response. And then this next one, during another examination, Terry is asked to track a balloon with her eyes. She does, and the doctor says, "You see that, don't you?" During his testimony, however, he called Terry totally unresponsive. That's interesting.
It's just outrageous. And
yeah.
I understand that there have been more than 50,000 signatures that have been sent to Jeb Bush.
Governor Jeb Bush of Florida, George W. Bush's brother.
I believe you can do that on that site, Bob. I'm not positive because, of course, I don't have access to a website right now, but I'm pretty sure I originally sent a petition signature in via that website. So
yeah, that's true. And I imagine if we had any listeners, we do have some listeners in Florida via the web at kgov.com. Their signing that petition might be especially effective. But, yeah, you could go to her website and complete an online petition. And you could also hear Terry on this website. And so with all this, you know, Leslie, it seems to me that those who have given up on human life, who've joined the fight to legalize killing innocent children and also killing sick people, injured people, that they're desperate to find opportunities to push the envelope and kill more and more people.
That's so true, Bob. And the thing that people our age need to really realize, the people that are, your show, of course, is typically preaching to the choir. Most folks that listen to you, I would think, are pretty sympathetic. But the average Joe that's out there that just spends his evenings watching television and is not involved in fighting the horror of abortion, those folks better realize that we're next, as we're, you know, aging baby boomers and getting up towards 50, 55, 60. We better realize that it could very easily be one of us that would be, you know, unfortunately in an accident. And who knows, if you don't have things in an ironclad fashion, you just very well may have somebody wanting to take your life. So,
well, especially your kids who are waiting for their inheritance.
Well, in this case, that's precisely what this gentleman's, whittling through her money that was set aside for her therapy, and he's paying his George Philos, who's a euthanasia advocate, $400,000 of the $700,000 that was supposed to be set aside for her care.
Mm. Well, Leslie, now we're speaking with Leslie Hanks, media coordinator for Colorado Right to Life. Leslie, let me read the rest of Terry's parents' statement, Bob and Mary Schindler. They start out, "We love our daughter very much, and we want her home." And then they write, "We beg Michael Schiavo," that's S-C-H-I-A-V-O, "we beg Michael Schiavo and those working with him not to end our daughter's life, to let her come home to her family. We will sign any agreement you want, giving you all monies related to Terry's collapse and any insurance money that may be forthcoming. You take the money. We just want our daughter."
Isn't it just heartbreaking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, and with, You know, we've got George W. Bush in the White House and Jeb Bush in the governor's office. At least, Leslie, at least you got to tell me that Jeb Bush is there in front of the hospice joining in on the vigil.
I haven't seen him yet.
Oh.
But I, to be fair, I have heard that he did file an amicus brief in a hearing, I guess it was a week or two ago. But at this point, I think what Randall and some of the attorneys for Terry are hoping is that Jeb Bush will step up to the plate and, they say, do his constitutional duty and use his executive powers to rescue her.
Yeah, because right, like send in the National Guard. Because if they're just going to kill some, you know, some handicapped person because they're blind, you don't get to do that.
That's right.
So he should. Hopefully he will do something.
He did intervene recently, too. Some of your listeners may remember, or you might. I want to say that there was a retarded woman that was in a
pregnant
facility that had been raped, and they, he did spare that baby's life, as I recall.
So,
you know, allowed the mom to continue carrying that baby until it could survive on its own. So
all right.
I would just encourage everybody to get on the website and to get on the phones tomorrow and call Jeb Bush and just praise him and thank him for what he has done, but say that more needs to be done. It's just criminal to think that this poor woman's life might be ended on Wednesday.
Yeah, that says it's as though she has received a death sentence in this country when it's the most difficult thing in the world to execute mass murderer rapist.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, we look for every opportunity to kill innocent people. And that's liberalism, right? Liberals are against killing mass rapist murderers, and they support killing unborn children and sickly old people and people who can't speak up for themselves.
That's right.
That's a liberal. That is a liberal. Kill the innocent and protect the guilty. Justify the guilty and condemn the innocent. That's liberalism. Thank you, Leslie Hanks.
Thank you, Bob.
Appreciate
God
your
bless
call. And, hey, Leslie, if you can, tomorrow night, if you can give us another update, we'd like to hear it.
I sure will be delighted to do that, Bob. Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you. And we, you know, we need to pray for, but do more than pray for, somehow, if we can, even if it's just going online and signing that online petition to the governor of Florida, Jeb Bush, not to let this girl, she's 39 years old now, this woman, be executed on Wednesday in 2 days. In October of 2003, we're going to starve to death a handicapped woman. Great. Great. And do you understand the point at the beginning of the show? It's not wrong to let someone die. That's not wrong. It's not a sin. Death is a result of sin. But because we have sinned and rebelled against God, we don't have the opportunity to live forever in these bodies. And so we die. That's what happens to us. We die. And whether through an accident or old age or a disease, if we're going to die, it's okay to let someone die. That's not a crime. It's not a sin. But if someone is not dying, like Terry Schindler Schiavo is not dying, she's not dying, she's disabled, but she's not dying. And to kill her for what? For comfort of some people who'd rather see her dead? Is that the goal? Her parents said, just let her come home. We've got our dear friends, their grandson is fed through a feeding tube. The liberals are going to kill him next? He's home. He can't eat on his own. We're going to kill him too? That's what's wrong with liberals. You know, liberalism is a sin. Did you know that? Liberals hate God. They hate righteousness. They hate moral clarity. So we'll be back after this. I want to thank those of you listening via kgov.com on the internet. Thank you very much for tuning in that way. It's a bit more difficult than being in your car and just turning on your radio. So it tells us that you're determined, committed to get right-wing Christian programming. And, hey, we want to thank you for being there. And we'll ask you this favor. Could you tell a friend, tell somebody to tune in to kgov.com, check out Bob and Yurt Live. Could you do that for us? Thanks. This is a live commercial break. Hello, everyone listening in Denver and out of Denver on KLTT, 670 AM, the nation's most popular Christian radio station. It's an honor to be on the air at KLTT, and I want to let you know our phone number is a reminder for our order line. The call-in line is 800-8-NYART. And you know, you could use that line, or the order line directly is 1-888-8-NYART. Now, if you call 24 hours a day, we don't have people here 24 hours a day, but we've got an answering machine. And if you're in a debate, a discussion, you're reading the Bible, you're wondering about a topic, you can call us. And it's not, we don't have an information service, but we have an order desk where we can help you think through, do any of our materials help you with your problem or your question? Anything we have, can it help you? And we've got Bible studies going through so many of the books of the Bible, a manuscript called The Plot, which is an overview of the whole Bible. And you know, that can help somebody get their life together, the Bible, the Word of God. So give us a call if you'd like to enjoy any of our training materials, Bible study materials. Call us at 1-800-8-NYART. Back, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. And I do appreciate Leslie Hanks calling in from on location in Florida at Pinellas Park. And hopefully tomorrow night we will get an update. But that's where our country is right now, and that's what we are up against. Yeah, the police are there. Isn't that interesting? Right? The police are there. We were at a Planned Parenthood facility in Great Falls, Montana on Friday. And what a great trip we had up to Montana to encourage the pro-life community up there. My family went, my wife, our three youngest boys, and mom and dad went. We had such a good time. My nephew came all the way from South Carolina, David. What's his last name? Oh, Enyart. That's right. David Enyart. He came along, and we were at this Planned Parenthood facility, and the police cars were coming down the street. So we wondered, well, maybe they're coming here to stop the killers. But no, they weren't. They were coming to make sure that the pro-lifers didn't get out of hand. That was the purpose. So that's the country that we live in, guys. It's broken. And can we fix it? Huh. You might get Bob the Builder on the scene, but he can't fix it. God is not going to fix it. Eventually, he's going to destroy it. Not only our country, but the nations of the world, basically. Jesus Christ came the first time as a baby, born in a stable, meek, humble. And he came not to rule, but to give his life to provide forgiveness to those who ask God to forgive them. But that was his first coming. You go back in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, and it speaks of a Messiah coming humbly, suffering and dying, and a Messiah coming in power as a king to rule and to kill his enemies. And the second time Jesus Christ comes, when he returns, his second coming, He's not going to come as a baby in a manger again. There's no such thing as reincarnation. He's not going to be born again as a baby in a manger. He's coming back with a sword to kill and to destroy the wicked. And so you might think you're tough, but you're not tough enough. You're not tough enough to overcome Jesus Christ. And so my recommendation is to get right with God. And don't wait until you're on your deathbed, because you may not have the luxury of a deathbed. You may not have the luxury of a deathbed to get right with God. So, and is it hard to do? It's pretty hard. It's pretty hard to say, God, I'm sorry that I've hurt so many people. Please, God, forgive me for my sins, for what I've done to hurt myself, hurt others, and even hurt you, and be ungrateful to you for giving me life. Please forgive me, and thank you that Jesus Christ died and took the punishment for my sin. And thank you that he was raised from the dead so that I can have new life. That's pretty hard to do. And people say, well, what could that matter? Just doing that? What does that matter? You're just saying some words. What are words? Words are nothing. Well, how about the words I do? They're pretty powerful. I performed a wedding in Hawaii, of all places, just a couple weeks ago. And the young couple standing at the altar were said to one another, I do. And their lives were truly changed, fundamentally altered with those words, because there was an offer made and the offer was accepted by both parties. And God is holding out an offer to you to ask him for forgiveness. God is saying, do you believe that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead? Do you believe that? If you believe that Christ was raised from the dead, then what that means is you're accepting the gospel message that Jesus Christ was not just a man, but God the Son, who created us and came as was prophesied to live a sinless life and die and take the punishment for our sins upon himself, so that God could justly forgive us and not just make believe we haven't done all this harm, but so he could really forgive us, because the punishment was meted out. Christ took the punishment, and then he was raised from the dead. Raised from the dead so that God would have the power to forgive us and to save us. Justly, righteously. So if you say, I do to God, do you believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead? Do you trust God to forgive your sins and to give you new life? And you say, I do to God, and it makes all the difference in the world. If those two words could make the difference they make between two human beings, when one person accepts the offer of another. And when you get married, that's a change. That's a change for a Christian, for a non-Christian. What a change when you get married. You know, you could get divorced, but even if you get divorced, it's still, that marriage is a dramatic change in your life. It's real. It's not make-believe. And when God is the one making the offer, and you are the one accepting it, and he says, do you trust me? Do you love me? Do you believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead? And you say, I do. Everything changes. Everything changes in God's eyes, how he views you, because now you're forgiven. You are innocent because Christ took your punishment. All right, now let's go to the news. The news of the day, what's happening? Other than terrysfight.org, what else do we have going on? Oh, yeah. You know, we don't have a very good we go from one woman who may be killed in Florida on Wednesday to the war on terrorism halfway around the world. America, we don't have a very good relationship with Syria right now, and it looks like it's getting worse. Our government apparently believes that Syria is holding about $3 billion of Saddam Hussein's money. This is a story out of the London Telegraph from today, that $3 billion of Saddam Hussein's loot is stashed away in Syrian government-controlled banks. That's a lot of money, $3 billion. And just the interest on that money, even at just seven-day money market rates, that's a lot of money. And so, and this is according to an unnamed senior U.S. official who's quoted by the London Telegraph. So apparently, America has asked Damascus, for the public school teachers tuning in right now, Damascus is the capital city in Syria. Wait a minute. All right, let's see here. We've asked Damascus to surrender the money for fear that it is being used by Iraq's Ba'ath Party officials to pay for attacks on American troops and coalition troops. So, wow. And apparently this story is going to come out in Time magazine also. And what else do we have going on here? Yeah, so that's if Syria has that money, and they better give it up. And they better give up defending terrorists. But better? Why? What are we going to do about it? Well, hopefully George W. Bush, his approval ratings have been slowly declining because the war on terror is not quite as exciting night to night as it has been in the past as far as the evening TV broadcast. And people lose, they have a short attention span, and they forget why things are happening. We have majority rule in America. The majority rules where we expect that millions of people, tens of millions of people, will vote with an understanding of history and economics and foreign policy and morality and justice. Criminal justice, public policy. We think that the majority will know what to do, in which direction the country should be steered. Conservative Christians think the majority are qualified to decide who should lead this nation. Boy, we conservative Christians, we've really been sold a bill of goods, huh? Have we been sucked in to absurdity or what? And a lot of conservative Christians will say, well, it's America's not a democracy. We're a republic. As though that actually meant something. Even if it meant something, even if it were true, it doesn't mean whatever they're hoping it means. It doesn't mean. Do you know what they hope that means? Is it true that America is not a democracy? We're a republic. Is that true? That's not true. We're a democracy. You didn't know that? Oh, boy. All right. We'll be back. Our phone number, 1-800-8-N-YARDS. That's 1-800-836-9278. All right, Bob and Yard here. I'm going to do a live commercial break. And I want to tell you about our Revelation Bible study. Now, our Bible study albums, we have them all on audio tape albums, But the book of Revelation, we did something fun. We reworked the masters, so they're digitally remastered, and we have created CDs of the Revelation study. And we've got them on two CDs in MP3 format. So, somebody in the studio audience just said they didn't have an MP3 player. That's okay. You don't need an MP3 player. You could play it on your computer. You don't have a computer? Well, you could play it in your DVD player. Yeah. You could play it in an MP3 player, a computer, a DVD player. And it's so much fun to study the book of Revelation. It will just blow your mind. The book of Revelation. And we've told the story on the show from time to time about the detective who, I'll tell that story another time, but the detective in the book of Revelation study we've got, you got to hear it. We're back. Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-8-N-Yurt. That's 1-800-836-9278. All right. So, yeah, America, majority rule, 1-800-8-N-Yurt, 1-800-836-9278. The majority cares about Terry in Florida. In Pinellas Park, Florida, the majority cares? No, the majority doesn't care if she gets starved to death in a public facility with the murderers being protected by the police department and her parents pleading for her life, their pleas going unheeded. The majority doesn't care. And Christian activists, some of them, think this. They think, well, we need to educate. And education is good. But if you think you need to educate and that will fix the problem, that if only you educate the masses and let them know what abortion really is, that'll fix the problem? No. No, that will not fix the problem. They'll just be, their hearts will become harder. Don't tell me I can't kill my baby. That's what they'll say eventually. So, you know, the majority, Jesus Christ said that the majority is evil. The majority is evil. The majority is going to hell. The majority shouted, crucify him, crucify him. So the majority are going to do right? The majority are going to know the right thing to do? No, they're not. Whatever, if America is to be basically fixed sometime in our lifetime or in future generations while your grandkids are alive, if, you know, might the Lord return before that? I hope so. That would be great. The people I love most are saved, love God. There's a lot of people I wish would get saved who aren't saved yet. But, hey, I'm ready for the Lord to return. But you know what? God is merciful, and he's more merciful than I am, and he's giving time for more people to repent, for more people to get right with God. But if the Lord doesn't return immediately, and let's say it's our grandkids have grown, my grandkids, it's 100 years from now. Is it possible America could get better morally? You know, we'll never be a perfect nation. It can't be. Even when Jesus Christ rules on earth for 1,000 years, it's not going to be perfect here. People are still going to die. Evil people will still exist. At the end of the 1,000 years, there will be a rebellion that will be quashed. And then we'll have the great white throne judgment, and God will destroy the heavens and the earth and create a new heaven and a new earth. But so let's not have any illusion that we can't have a perfect government or a perfect society, but our society is grossly wicked right now. And it is intolerant of righteousness. And it doesn't have to be that way always. You might have a family where the kids are all messed up and the kids reject God. And you may have given up on your family. Well, you shouldn't give up. If it's your family, you could give up on somebody else, but don't give up on your family. You know, you might not be able to witness to them constantly because they become immune to it and you become an idiot. So you have to use wisdom, strategy. And you might only be able to, you might end up only able to make any kind of an impact once every so many months because they don't want to hear it from you. Or once every year or two, some kind of word. But our country, you don't give up on your country also. You don't give up on America just because things are bad. And some Christians will say, well, the Bible says it's going to get evil, and so there's no sense fighting it. It's just going to get worse. Well, has it just gotten worse for 6,000 years? No, there have been cycles, moral cycles, where things get worse and they get a little bit better, and they get worse and they get a little bit better. And whenever Christians have thought about the end times and the Lord's second coming, they've thought that was it. This is it. It's this decade. It's this year. It's this decade. It's this generation. And Christians have always thought that. 2,000 years ago, they thought that. 1,000 years ago, Halley's Comet came by. And it was the Black Plague in Europe. Signs in the heavens and pestilence and wars. And that was it. It was the last days. But it wasn't the last days. And 400 years ago was the last days, and 300 years ago, and 200 years ago. And whenever you want to look, in the 1830s in England, the Plymouth Brethren, it was the last days. At the turn of the last century, the 2 centuries ago, 1900, it was the last days. And, right, with the millennium changing. Well, maybe that would have been the last days. The 1980s were the last days. May 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation. It was the last days. And it's not the last days. It hadn't been any of those times. So is it right now? Oh, Lord, I pray so. But you wouldn't bet your house on it, right? I'm talking to those of you who say that regularly that it's the last days. I have Christians who tell me that they know it's the end times. And so I try to get them to be a little bit specific, just a little bit. I'm not asking for the day or the hour, but is this the last decade? Do we have another 20 years left? Or 30 or 40 or 50? Do you know it's the end, or do you just hope? And if you hope it's the end, well, praise the Lord. I hope so too. If you think you know it's the end, my Christian friends who know it's the end, I've been a Christian now for a while, since 1973. That's 30 years. I've got Christian friends who've known it's the end times for 30 years. Some of them are now dead. And it's the end times. Only they lived their life, their kids have grown up, and they're dead. And so a Christian who knows it's the end times, well, because everything's so terrible, they say, and because Israel became a nation, and because knowledge has exploded and travel, and they quote different prophecies, and they know it's the end times, because look how bad it is, and it's only going to get worse. Well, how bad was it in Europe during World War II? How bad was that? That was pretty bad. And so throughout history, things tend to get better and they get worse, and they get better and they get worse. In different times in history, different cultures, it could be bad, bleak, miserable, wicked for centuries. It could be virtually hopeless for 1,000 years. But then You have Christian missionaries come in, or a revival, and people get saved, and the light of the gospel shines. And as far as God is concerned, as far as I'm concerned, it's worth a lot of pain and suffering to rejoice with one other person, with one person, with one of my kids, right? The ability to experience the love that I get from one of my kids is worth a lifetime of suffering. And so God, he made us in his image. God made us in his image, and we can realize the value of in salvation, in a good relationship. And so God's willing to hang in there with us. Is it the last days? I don't know. I sure hope it is. But those Christians who tell me they know it's the last days and the Lord will return within shortly, when they tell me that, what I realize is they're trying to convince themselves because they don't really believe it, but they're trying to convince themselves. And so they're telling me adamantly as though they're certain, but they're not, and they're trying to convince me. But they're not convinced. Have you noticed that of your friends who say it's the last days? And so then, you know, let a little time go by, maybe 20 minutes later, a day later, and ask them about their retirement plans. And they'll tell you about their retirement plans if they're mature, responsible Christians, adults. And what do you have a retirement plan for if you really believed the Lord is coming back soon? If you're going to retire in 40 years or 30 years, that's not soon. I mean, it's, you know, it's in the ballpark. But anyway, I've never met anyone willing to sell me their house. Anyone who said the Lord will come back within the next 10 years or 20 years, I always follow up and I ask those people, well, can I buy all your earthly possessions? I'll give you the money today and take delivery in 20 years. 10 years. When did you say the Lord was coming back? In 3 years? All right, I'll give you $1,000 today. Just sign this paper, turn over your house to me in January 1st of 2007. After you're gone, or the Lord has returned, and then sell me your house. They won't do it because they don't believe the dates they give me. So, what's with all that? What's the point of talking about all that? Because Christians, we're fighting this war against the wicked. We're fighting it in Florida. We're fighting it in Syria, around the world. And Christians get disillusioned. They get confused. They don't understand how to apply the Bible to the battles we're in. Oh, it's all so terrible, but it's only going to get worse. Maybe not. Might get better. If you're a defeatist, if you think there's no hope, maybe it will get worse because God can't count on you to fight the battle because you think, well, it's only going to get worse, so what's the sense? And not everybody who believes it's definitely the end times takes it that step, but a lot of people do. And so, hey, the better we understand the Bible, the more effective we can be in the battle against the wicked. And are you in that battle or are you a spectator? Hey, it's worth it to fight on the Lord's side. That's worth it. Because guess what? No matter what happens in the battles, the war is won. And Jesus Christ has made us more than conquerors in him when we're on his side. So, hey, look forward to tomorrow night's show. Perhaps we'll get an update from Pinellas Park, Florida, on Terry. And until then, this is Bob Enyart, reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.